الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: بين رجل يمشي فاشتد عليه العطش، فنزل بئرا فشرب منها، ثم خرج فإذا هو بكلب يلهث يأكل الثرى من العطش، فقال: لقد بلغ هذا مثل الذي بلغ بي. فنزل بئرا فملأ خفه ثم أمسكه بفيه ثم رقي فسقى الكلب فشكر الله له فغفر له. قالوا: يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن لنا في البهائم أجرا؟ قال: في كل كبد رطبة أجر. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in this hadith narrates an incident from the people of the past which he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي, whilst a person was walking. He was on a journey, and whilst traveling, he was walking. He became very thirsty. فَاشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْأَتَشُ. Thirst became very intense upon him. He became very thirsty. فَنَزَلَ بِئْرًا. Because he was very thirsty, he started looking for water. And as always, with every human, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him with a source to quench his thirst. And he saw a well. And he climbed down the well. And he drank from the water of the well and quenched his thirst. فَنَزَلَ بِئْرًا. He went down the well, fashariba minha, and he drank from the water of that well, and he quenched his thirst. Thumma kharaja, after a while he came out, after quenching his thirst he came out. فَإِذَا هُوَ بِكَلْبٍ يَلْهَثُ يَأْكُلُ الثَّرَى مِنَ الْعَتَشِ. When he came out, he saw something which he had not seen before climbing down the well. Because before he went down the well, what he saw was not there. After he climbed down the well, a dog came near the well. And the dog was in the same predicament. It was also thirsty, very thirsty. And it was also looking for water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not provide only for the humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for all His creatures. The man was thirsty. He began looking for water, stream, well, lake. He was on a journey, traveling. And he came across a well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the ability to climb down the well and drink. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for this creation of his, the human, the man. Now a dog was in the same need, an animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for the animal also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Al-khalqu iyalullah. All the creatures are the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their only provider. And if the father provides for his children, it is not the father. It is Allah who is providing, and it is Allah who is making this father the cause for this provision. Just as in this case, the well was the cause. It is Allah who was providing. Al-khalqu iyalullah, the creation, the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are all dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for all of them. And Allah provides everything. When food is required, Allah provides food. When drink is required, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides drink. When medicine is required, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides medicine. When knowledge is required, Allah provides knowledge. And for everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, He has created dozens of causes, means. I become sick. One of my associates, one of my close ones, dear ones, near ones will become the first cause. He will say, let me take you to the doctor. Let me call the doctor. Who has put this person in my service? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or all these servicemen that we see on a day-to-day basis. Somebody is preparing tea for us. Somebody is preparing cake and biscuits for us. Somebody is cooking food for us. Somebody is washing clothes for us. Somebody is ironing clothes for us. Somebody is driving us around. Somebody is earning in order to provide for us. Allah is the only provider. And because Allah is the only provider, He is the only one worthy of our worship. We should not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heavy heart. Oh, I have to perform Fajr Salat because it's fard. And if I don't perform Fajr Salat, Allah will punish me. Worship should not be a burden. Worship should be a means, a source of being grateful to our benefactor. If someone does favor to me and I smile and I say, Jazakallah, thank you very much, I'm grateful to you, I'm indebted to you, it's not burdensome. You feel it your duty. And you do this out of happiness. And when you have thanked the person, you still feel that I wish I was able to say more and do more. Because he has done so much for me. I can't repay him. And in so many incidents, so many circumstances, we do say that I cannot repay you for what you have done for me. That is how we should behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should perform salat as a mark of being grateful to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Anishkurli walivalidayk. Be grateful to me and be grateful to your parents. We have been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be grateful to two parties. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real benefactor. And the second party, those who become the means. Like parents. So Allah is our creator. But parents become the means. So be grateful to Allah and also the parents. It is Allah who cures. But the doctor looks after you. So be grateful to Allah and also the doctor. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, one who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not grateful to the other party, the means and the cause, then he has not fully carried out the obligation of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man lam yashkurin nas lam yashkurillah. One who is not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not grateful. One who is not grateful to people is not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very, very important injunction of our deen. If we are favored by somebody, then we should be grateful to them. We should say, Jazakallahu khaira. We should pray for them. I am indebted to you. I cannot repay you for what you have done for me. Jazakallah. May Allah give you reward. Jazakallahu khaira. May Allah give you good reward. Jazakallahu ahsan al jaza. May Allah give you best reward. Al-khalqu iyalullah. The creatures are the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the creatures are the dependent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. And Allah provides for all the creatures. All the creatures. So this person was traveling, he became thirsty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him. The well was there. He could have lost his way, and he could have died out of thirst. But no, in time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him reach the well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the understanding. Gave him the understanding how to reach the water. Without the understanding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot do anything. So many times a person is trying to figure out something and another person comes in and he looks at him and he says, not like this, like this. And he smiles. Sometimes he feels embarrassed as well. Why? Because he was trying to do that for the past half an hour. And this person just came in and within seconds he figured out what to do. Understanding is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah who is providing us with understanding. When Allah is providing everything to us, we should never become proud of anything. Never. Because Allah gives and He can also take it away. Allah takes away and He can also return. So Allah can return, Allah can take away. Allah can take away, Allah can return. Whatever we have is without our deserving only through the kindness and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we are grateful to Him, the more we acknowledge this fact that whatever I have has been granted to me by my Creator without my being deserving of it, only through His sheer kindness and grace, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase our favor. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah says, if you are grateful to me, I will increase you your favors. And if we are ungrateful, this has come to me as a result of my effort. This has come to me as a result of my effort. For your efforts to come into existence, you need understanding. That if I exert effort in this direction, in this direction, in this direction, I will reach my goal. Who gave you that understanding? And after the understanding, if I exert effort in this direction, the ability to exert effort, who gave you? The ability to walk, the ability to hold, the ability to pull, the ability to write, the ability to print, publish, the ability to talk, the ability to spend. So how can we say that whatever I have achieved is the result of my efforts? No, whatever I have achieved is the result of the grace and the kindness of my Creator. It is for this reason we have been taught by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to begin any work with Bismillah. Bismillah. I begin in the name of Allah. I begin in the name of Allah. I begin with the name of Allah. And if we carefully study the Arabic grammar in Bismillah, then I begin with the help of the name of Allah. I begin with the help, assistance of the name of Allah. So before embarking on any task, significant, insignificant, we have been taught to say Bismillah. At least Bismillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah. But at least Bismillah. To remind ourselves that I will only be able to accomplish this task if the help of Allah is with me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand this very important point. Whatever we are, whatever we are able to do, whatever we have achieved, whatever we can achieve, we will achieve only through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the means for this person to quench his thirst well, with the well, the ability to climb down. So he climbed down. And after satisfying himself, he came out and he saw a dog. So he was surprised to see a dog, because the dog was not there before he went down the well. Yalhaso, this dog was breathing heavily. Because it was tired and because it was thirsty. And it was licking the moist soil as a result of his thirst. Because it could not find water anywhere. So it was trying to quench its thirst by licking the moist soil around the well. Normally people take out water from the well and they spill the water here and there. So around the well you will see moist soil, mud. It was licking the moist soil. It was not able to satisfy itself, but to a certain extent it was trying to quench its thirst. It did not have the ability or the understanding to climb down the well. And who is the provider? Allah. So in order to provide for this dog, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent this man. So as far as the man is concerned, he only needed a well with water, because he had the ability to climb down. And as far as the dog was concerned, it required a well, and with the well, it also required somebody who could serve the dog. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, on a daily basis, from morning, when we wake up in the morning until we retire to bed at night, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many favors He is showering upon us. I'm not saying weekly or monthly, daily. We will not be able to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily we walk, how many steps do we walk? Dozens. From here we will walk to the shoe area, from shoe area to the car. Some of us ride to our home. When we are walking, where is our gaze? On our feet? How many of us are looking at our feet? How many of us are looking at what's ahead of us? We are walking away and we are looking on the right, looking to the left. But majority of the times we notice that whenever we come across an obstacle, automatically our eyes will go there. Who is turning our eyes in emergency towards our feet? Me and you? We didn't know. We were looking at the shop, we were looking at the groceries on this side, the homes, those people who are passing by. No, we look in front of us, we look to the right, we look to the left. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِّنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created millions of angels, and they have been given duties. And one of the duties that the angels have been given is to look after you and me. And we find in the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when we are walking, the angels are controlling our steps. They make us walk. And they make sure that we take the right step and we don't fall, we don't trip, we don't slip. The point I'm trying to emphasize is we owe everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because we owe everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try to make Him happy by living our lives according to His wishes. And by saying sorry, by making tawbah, by apologizing if you make a mistake. And we owe everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are fully in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. So again, we need to keep Him happy. And we always need to seek refuge in Him. For the future, whenever we think about the future, examinations are on their way. Examinations, students at school, college, darulums, examinations after 2 months, 3 months. And you somewhat feel uneasy because you see danger. What should you say immediately? Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. A'udhu billah, I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. You see someone sick and shaitan to make you lose hope, to make you lose your way, shaitan brings disparity upon us. What if this happens to me? Somebody is suffering from cancer, somebody has been diagnosed with cancer. What if it happens to me? Immediately say, A'udhu billah. I seek refuge in Allah. Nothing will happen to me, inshallah. And if something does happen, Allah will look after me. A'udhu billah. Any fear that you experience in regard to the future, oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Save me. Oh Allah, grant me refuge from sickness, from any calamity. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Oh, for future, refuge. What will happen to me when I die? Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Oh Allah, save me. What will happen to me in the grave? What will happen to me if I fail my exams? I have made this mistake when I face my father. What will happen to me? What will my father say? I have made this grave mistake. How will I face the community? As soon as you come across something like this, isti'adha, ta'awudh. Oh Allah, I seek refuge. Allah, oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. That's for the future. And for present, present. If you see yourself in a good state, then say Alhamdulillah. So for future, A'udhu Billah. If you see yourself in a good state, Alhamdulillah. And if you see yourself in a bad state, then inna lillah, sabr. We all belong to Allah. Everything we have belongs to Allah. So health belongs to Allah. Allah has taken my health. Wealth belongs to Allah. I am not so wealthy at the moment. Sabr, patience. So we will find ourselves in either of two circumstances. Either we are suffering or we are happy. If we are suffering, inna lillah. And if we are happy, alhamdulillah. patience, sabr, and shukr, gratefulness, gratitude. Somebody is sick, he is unwell. But the mind does not go towards the sickness, the mind goes towards the ilm that he has. So he will feel very happy. So when he is happy, he should say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And after 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, his mind will wander away from the ni'mat of ilm and it will go towards his sickness that everybody is well and I'm sick. So he should say, Inna Lillah. When he comes across anything of his life that is a cause of happiness, he should say, Alhamdulillah. And if it's a cause of grief, he should say, Inna Lillah. Sabr Shukr. So for present, Sabr Shukr. For future, A'udhu Billah. Sabr Shukr. Future, A'udhu Billah. Tomorrow I have an interview. Only Allah knows what will happen. Will I fail? Will I pass? Will I get the job? A'udhu Billah. I seek refuge in Allah. Oh Allah, you keep me under your protection. I have a very good job. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I have a job, but I'm facing problem with the employer. Inna lillah. Sabr. Shukar, sabr, present. For future, a'udhu billah. So we have secured the present and we have secured the future. How do we secure the past that is not in our control? We say bygone is bygone. Past is past. Leave your past behind you. Look ahead. No. Islam does not teach us that. Islam says you can make your past better as well. Your past better as well. As far as your worldly failures are concerned, look ahead. Past is past, it's gone. But I have wasted 30 years of my life by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I've wasted 30 years. 30 years. When I go in the hereafter, I cannot say that put it behind your back. It will haunt me. In order to regain your past, say, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me, I repent. I will not live a life of sin again. Forgive me, I will not do that. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who accept Iman, those people who make a U-turn, and make a firm resolution to remain on Iman and good deeds. So they say, Astaghfirullah, and make a firm resolution not to do those things again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform their evil deeds into good deeds. So he will come with 30 years of ibadat on the day of Qiyamah instead of 30 years of sins. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides. So we need to worship him. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can save us from calamities, who can look after us. So we need to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and keep him happy. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ فَإِذَا هُوَ بِكَلْبٍ يَلْهَثُ يَأْكُلُ الثَّرَى مِنَ الْعَتَشِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided this dog with water. And in order to provide this dog with water, Allah provided the dog with a well full of water, fresh water, sweet water. And in order to provide the dog with water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this serviceman before the dog reached the well. He could have walked away, but Allah put the mercy for this dog in the heart of this person. So what did he say when he saw the dog? لَقَدْ بَلَغَ هَذَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي بَلَغَ بِي. Indeed, this one has reached the like of what has reached me. He could have just ignored the dog, walked away. There are so many people who see other people in distress. But their distress does not bring any pain to them. But it pained this man to see this dog in this condition. So what did he do? فَنَزَلَ بِئِرًا. He went down the well again. Now he had no utensils. So he went down the well, and in another narration, we find that before he went down the well, he took off one of his leather socks. So he was wearing leather socks, so he took off one of his leather socks. And he went down the well, فَمَلَا خُفَّهُ, and he filled that leather sock with water. ثُمَّ أَمْسَكَهُ بِفِيهِ, and he held that leather sock full of water with his teeth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, by giving us all these details, is showing us how difficult this work was for him. Coming down the well and climbing up the well was not an easy thing. He had to use both his hands. It was a risky job. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in his heart to do this. So he held the leather sock full of water with his teeth, and using both his hands, ثُمَّ رَقِيَ, he climbed up. فَسَقَ الْكَلْبَ, and he quenched the thirst of the dog. Allahu Akbar. And what did Allah do? فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanked him. This is the word-to-word translation. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanked him. If somebody does me favor and if I thank him, that means I will try to repay him. So Allah thanked him means Allah repaid him. Allah retributed him. Allah recompensated him. Allah rewarded him. Allah rewarded him. And the commentators of hadith commenting on this say that Allah rewarded him means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this deed of his which was full of sincerity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him in front of the malaika. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this action of his to the malaika, kar guzari. That a servant of mine was walking through a jungle or on a journey on his own, and he saw a dog which was thirsty. It was difficult for him to go down the well, but he still, Allah is explaining everything to the malaika and praising this person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him by faghafara lahu, by forgiving him, and in another narration, wadkhalahu al-jannah, and by granting him entry into Jannah. Now we are coming to the conclusion of the hadith. Qalu ya Rasulallah. So this Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, we are talking about 1400 years ago. Before 100 years or maybe 150 years, there were no animal rights organizations. There were no animal rights organizations. And even in this day and age, there are so many people who are very cruel to animals. They break the law of the land also. So Islam had just come with a new light, new vision. And before Islam, the animals had no rights whatsoever. So the animal kingdom was looked down upon, as if it doesn't have any right. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain were shocked. They were astonished that by quenching the thirst of an animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became so happy. So the Sahaba said, and from amongst the people who asked this question, one was Suraqa ibn Malik ibn Joshum, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. They said, Ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa inna lana fil bahayim ajran. Is there a reward for us in being kind to the animals? In showing kindness to the animals? In being of service to the animals? In carrying out a good act towards the animals? We will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fi kulli kabidin ratbatin ajrun. There is a reward for being of service to any living thing. Be it a human, an inhuman, be that person a Muslim or an unmuslim. Be it a male or a female, be that person a young or old, be that person healthy or sick, wealthy or poor, prince or pauper, friend or foe. And animals, any animal, except for those certain animals which are harmful. Which are harmful. Our deen and our sharia has permitted us to kill those animals. For being of service to any animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give reward. This is where the story ends, and there are so many lessons to learn from this hadith. One lesson that we have learned today as the result of the dars of this hadith is that we are the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Him for everything. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even if you need to go to the cobbler to mend your shoes, do not feel overconfident. It's only a shoes. It's only a pair of shoes, or it's only a shoe. It's only a slipper. And there are dozens of cobblers in the city. And I will go. I have enough money. And no. Without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can mend your shoe. Without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can mend your shoe. Let me narrate to you a funny story. A person was going to buy a goat in the goat market. In the olden times, people used to travel from villages and go to the city, and in city you had big markets. Goat market, cow market, camel market, vegetable market. So somebody met him, somebody from the village, a pious person. Where are you going? So he said, I'm going to buy a goat. So he said, say inshallah. He said, say inshallah. So he said, inshallah means if Allah wills. I don't need to say inshallah. I am healthy. I am alive. I have got the brains, understanding. I know what a goat is. I know that different qualities in goats. I have ample money. There is no need for me to say inshallah. So he didn't say inshallah. And he left the village, and whilst he was traveling, a few bandits saw him. And he was on his own, so they looted him. And after looting him, they tied him on a tree trunk, so that by the time he is rescued and he can inform the police, they could be well out of the way. And in those days, remotely somebody would pass by. So after many hours, somebody came and he was tired and he was experiencing anxiety. His money had gone and he was tired, he was hungry, thirsty. So a few people were traveling from there, and when they saw this person tied on the tree, they untied him and they asked him, what happened? So you say inshallah for things that is going to happen in the future, not for those things that happened in the past. But he had learned his lesson, that for not saying inshallah, I have suffered. So he said, inshallah, I was going to the goat market, inshallah, to buy a goat. And inshallah, why else I was walking, inshallah, some bandits got hold of me, and inshallah, they looted me. He learned his lesson. It is for this reason, my friends, we recite the Masnoon Duas with this thought in mind, that these Duas will bring me reward in the hereafter. This is our problem. This is our problem. We do everything for either reward or to save ourselves from the punishment. We do not understand the significance of the amal of our deen. That is why we don't enjoy. Before doing everything, whilst doing whatever we are doing, after doing what we were doing, we remember Allah. We remember Allah. Sometimes we ask Him for His help. Sometimes we thank Him. We express our gratitude to Him. So we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always depend on. Even if we have all the resources, always feel afraid. Always feel afraid. It's possible I'm unable to travel. It's possible I may miss the flight. That doesn't mean that you lose your confidence. No. It's possible this can happen. It's possible this can happen. But because I have my Creator with me, inshallah it will not happen. Allah will look after me. Allah will look after me. We are in need of Allah. And whatever we have acquired, whatever goals we attain, it is through the help of Allah. That is very big lesson we have learned. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides for everybody. And if Allah is providing for everybody, then if I see someone who is underprivileged, I should not look down upon him, because it is possible that the provider may deprive me of what he is providing me with. And he may begin to provide him, and he may become privileged and I may become underprivileged. Very big lesson. Very big lesson. This will bring humbleness and humility in our lives. And from this hadith we also understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who serve His makhluk. Humans, animals. We should be kind to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be kind even to the ants. We should be kind even to the insects. That are not harmful for us. We should be kind to animals. We should be kind to our fellow human beings. Muslims, non-Muslims. There is no room for terrorism in Islam. There is no room to make someone terrified in Islam. There is no room. There is no room to create terror, fear in somebody's heart. Islam is a religion of mercy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لِفِي كُلِّ كَبِيدٍ رَتْبَةٍ أَجْرٌ. There is reward in being of service to any living thing. He did not say that only humans or only Muslims, or Muslims and animals and not non-Muslims. No. We need to understand this lesson. And another very important point is, whilst being very, very kind to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very, very important point is that we should not undermine, undervalue any good amal that we are able to do. It's possible that we are very, very sinful, and we are given the opportunity to carry out a small insignificant deed, which is insignificant in our eyes, But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that holds so much value that Allah, as a result of that deed, may praise us in front of the malaika, forgive our sins and grant us entry into Jannah. And another lesson we learn from this is that if we feel, nobody should feel this way, but if we feel that we are very pious, if I feel I am very pious, he is not, I am very pious because I follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he doesn't. This happens within the family as well. A person becomes very, very holy. And he feels that in this family, I'm the only person who's following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the whole family is good for nothing. A person begins to look down upon the family. No, don't look down upon the family. Feel sorry for them. Not look down upon them. Not feel proud over them. Yes, be grateful for the tawfiq Allah is giving you. And feel sorry for them and make dua for them so that they can become like you or even better. But never look down upon anybody, because it's possible that this person you are looking down upon may carry out a deed full of sincerity, which becomes a means of him being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he may go straight into Jannah. And there is a possibility that I or you may carry out an evil deed, as a consequence of which we could be deprived of iman. So khawf and raja, both. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both. That is true iman. This is the condition of a true mu'min. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to learn, to understand the beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and to bring those teachings in our lives. And may we all become the living models of Islam, living models of the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may we become the true ambassadors of Islam, so that misconceptions regarding Islam can be eliminated by our practice. Actions speak louder than words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. And may Allah grant us the barakat of the Quran and the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us more opportunities like this, where we are able to learn from the ahadith and from the Quran, and may we practice and may we become the muttaqin awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah unite us over and over again in this world to learn what He wants from us and to purify our souls. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us forever and ever in the hereafter in the Jannatul Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، واجعل الجنة هي دارنا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك.